And good morning to each one who has come out this morning. The Lord has given us a beautiful day as he has given us a beautiful summer, and I pray that we will all thank him for that. I wonder how many in this congregation this morning will be in heaven when the roll is called up yonder. I wonder. Will there be any surprises? We hope not. We pray not. We pray that everyone who says they're saved and those who are here this morning will know for sure that their name will be called when they're in heaven. Because if you're saved this morning, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life already. And that will never be erased if you're saved this morning. This morning, we're going to look at a word again, the word prepared. You know that I always like to use words like that because sometimes when I get my age, I need to have one word that I can concentrate on because I can't concentrate on too many things all at once. The word is prepared, and I'd like you to turn to Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 for a verse to remind each one of us. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, and we all know the verse, I would imagine. If I went out in the room, probably a majority of people could quote it. There's five words, and it says this: the Lord was speaking to the nation of Israel, and he says this, and it is included, is we are included in these words, prepare to meet thy God. And if your name is going to be called out someday, you need to have prepared to meet your God by now or even this morning. Prepare to meet thy God. I wonder, do we ever sit down and think about that? What does it mean to be prepared? I will give you six different reasons why we need to be prepared to meet our God. Because you know what? God is prepared for you, whether you're saved or not. Do you know that? So it's very important for you and I to be prepared because God is prepared. God is not somebody that does everything on the last moment. He's already prepared. And the first place we're going to look at, and we see that word, we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we were looking at that chapter this morning. If you want to turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 10. And in this chapter, as you read down, we see a comparison made of the Old Testament or the old under the law, being under the law, and the new coming in, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, who would replace the law, the old law, under the law, the sacrifices that were made daily, and then once a year at the Day of Atonement when the high priest would go into the holiest of holies, he would have to go in there with blood. He would have to sprinkle it. He had to go in there with blood for himself and for the people. Why? Because we are sinners. They were sinners. And the Lord said, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. That was plied way back there. There had to be bloodshed in order to cover sins for a short time. We see this in chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ, look at it reading in at verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, or thou hast fitted me with. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. We also heard the verse 12, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, but this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, in the Old Testament, and we all know that, there was thousands and thousands of lambs offered daily, yearly. There was rams, there was bullocks, there was animals, sacrifices all the time. Millions of them. And they could never take away sin. But there was one who came in a body that was prepared, who could take away sin of everyone sitting in this room, the 7 billion people in the world today, and the billions of people before. One sacrifice, one time, he took away every sin forever. And he came in a body of flesh. Who was he? He was God manifest in the flesh. If you go back to the book of Genesis, we see the first man that was put on the earth. His name was Adam. He was created in chapter 1. He was created. We see creation there. In chapter 2, we see a woman who was formed out of the rib of a man. We see formation there. We see in chapter 4, we see a man and a woman. We see generation there. And then when you come to Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe it is, chapter 31, and we see this, we see something brand new. We see a maid. We see a woman that had no earthly husband, and she has a man-child. We're going to read that verse, Jeremiah. Let's go there for a moment. Jeremiah 31, I believe it is. I'll go back and find it real quick. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 22. Now remember, the first man created, there was no woman involved. Only, in fact, there was no man or woman involved, only God. He made man out of the dust of the earth. The first woman that was made, there was no woman involved, only a man. He took the woman from the man's side. The first man that was born into this world, there was a man and a woman involved. We come to this scenario, we see that there was no man involved, but there was a woman involved, something brand new. Look at verse 22. This is the Lord speaking to Jerusalem, to the Israel. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? He was speaking about the city of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. That is, within her womb would be a woman would have a man-child. And as we go to the Gospels, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came upon Mary, that selected maid, virgin maid, who would be pregnant with a child that was extremely unique. Because he had no earthly father, he had a heavenly father. His name would be called Jesus. The word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, or that is his earthly name, Jesus. That is Savior. And it says that holy thing, holy one, what's within your womb shall be called the Son of God. So he was God and he was man. At the same time, 100% God, he was 100% man. He was the God-man who came down to this world. And God didn't send the seraphim. He didn't send the cherubim. He didn't send an angel. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, because he was the only one who could save you from your sins. And he came in a body of flesh. You ever think about that? Born into a family. In the gospel it says he had four other brothers, and it says sisters. I believe there probably was seven in that family. And you know what seven is? Perfection, isn't it? Not that the people, the family was seven, but I believe he was the firstborn. And think about the children, if you were born into a family like that, and this child who never sinned once. And he lived in this earth for 33 and a half years. And he came with a purpose in mind. He came to do the Father's will. And the Father's will was that he would go to Calvary's cross and die. And you say, well, what did he die for? He died that you might be saved. Why? Because in the Genesis, we'll go back to Genesis again, and God said to that first man, Adam, he gave him an absolutely wonderful, perfect, beautiful garden to live in, to be occupied, to look after. He gave him a beautiful woman. And he said, there's one tree that I don't want you to eat of, Adam. In the day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. We see in chapter 3, we see Satan, the one who was cast out of heaven, being in the Garden of Eden. The Bible calls him a serpent, but I don't believe he was a serpent when he came to that woman. I believe he was, as the Bible says, he was an angel of light. And I believe that he was beautiful, and he was something that caught the attention of that woman. Where Adam was, I don't know at the time, but he caught the attention of that woman, and he deceived her. He brought her down, and she took of that fruit. She took of that fruit, and then she gave it to her husband. And from that moment on, every person who was born in this world were born in sin, born because the Bible says, like the Lord said to him, in the day that thou eatest of the tree, thou shalt surely die. And death in the Bible always speaks of separation. And from that moment on, every man, woman, and child that was born separated from God. But as we read this morning in Acts chapter 2, God had a plan in place even before this happened. Him, that is the Lord Jesus, would be delivered by the determinate and foreknowledge of God. God would deliver his son, and his son willingly would be delivered by God as a lamb, as a person, and a body of flesh. Then he would be delivered by man, that is the Jewish people, the religious leaders, to the Romans, and they would crucify him. And he went willingly to die for you and I. But remember that, a body of flesh. Prepared, a body of flesh. If you went to Colossians, we see a verse there. In him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that body of flesh, that little baby that was born in a manger, in that little body, dwelleth, occupies all that God was. And yet he was a body of flesh. And think of him for 33 and a half years, he walked in this world with a purpose in mind. Never once did he sin. We heard that this morning. Our great high priest who became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That is the one who was in a body of flesh, and he came to die for you and for me. A body of flesh. Think of that young boy as he would grow. We think of him at age 12 in the temple, as he would say to his mom and dad after they had left him at the temple, believing that he was in their company, they came back for him. He would say to them, "Wished you not, or do you not know that I should be about my father's business?" Was he talking about Joseph's business, which was a carpenter? No, he was talking about his heavenly father, because that was his father. He was always had his mind fixed on his father's work to go to the cross to die for sinners. Think about that. How occupied are we? How determined are we? When we start something, do we finish it? Because he did. He started something, he carried it through, and he finished it. And because of that finished work, when he said those words on the cross, after he endured suffering for mankind, then he endured 3 hours of darkness when God poured all his wrath for your sins and for mine on his dear son, he said, "It's finished." And that completed the cross work. And for in that case, he died for every man's sin, every woman's sin, every young person's sin. Does that mean everybody is saved then? No. No such thing as universal salvation. But he made provision for every person to be saved. And we're going to go to the next story, as it were. It's called a parable in Matthew chapter 22. Please turn there with me. So we see a body of flesh that was prepared. Now we're going to see a dinner that was prepared. And it speaks about something far more than that. Matthew chapter 22. Reading in verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Jewish people, to those who were the religious leaders and so on. He was speaking directly to them. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 22. And Jesus answered, and he spake unto them again by parables, and said, the word parable means something drawn alongside. That is an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. That is a parable, and the Lord used it so many different times. He used stories, he used parables, he used types, he used pictures. And he was speaking to these Jewish people who should have known better, who were about to crucify him. They received him not, they rejected him. He brought a parable. He used an earthly story about a marriage, but it had a heavenly and a spiritual meaning. And they knew what he was speaking about. The kingdom of heaven, in verse 2, is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now just stop for a moment. A king and his son. He was speaking about God and his son, Jesus Christ. He was talking about a marriage, earthly marriage. But it had a spiritual meaning. Look what it goes on to say. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden, to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared. There's the word prepared. I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his firm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him, hand him foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. We see a marriage, and in the eastern countries back, way back then, there was always an invitation given to people beforehand. And then when the day came, then they would go and approach those people again. But he was speaking specifically to the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus was in this, it was a picture of Israel as they were set aside, as it were. But the despised Gentiles were guests at the table. You know what he mean by that? The Bible says in John that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. The Lord Jesus Christ was born into a Jewish family. That verse means he came into a Jewish family, and the Jewish people, they despised him, they rejected him. And what he was saying in this parable, he was likening it to a wedding where guests were invited. He was speaking to the Jewish people. They had so many times had heard that word come. You see it first time in Genesis chapter 7. He says to Noah, he says, come now and thy family into the ark. Another picture, a story there. We see it in Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. We see it in Isaiah 55 again. Come, buy and eat. Speaking about the gospel, it was free. We see it in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We see it again here. Come, for all things are now ready. We see it again in Luke's gospel. We see it in Revelation chapter 22. Come, the little word come. Anyone can understand it, but they would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ like people won't come to him today. And so what he was saying is, this is a picture of a marriage, and there's been invitation sent out, and these people made light of it. And in those days, there was kingdoms. And in the Old Testament, if you denied a king, he had all the right in the world to cut your head off. You didn't say you despised a king unless you were in an uprising. Read the little book of Esther. And if a king, when you went to speak to him, if he didn't hand a scepter to you or point a scepter at you, you didn't even get to talk to him. It says this story, a king sent out invitations for his son at a marriage, and they rejected it because they despised him, and they made light of it. They made fun of him, and not only that, but they took their servants and they treated them spitefully. They rebelled against him, and it says he was wroth. You know what we could say with these three words we could say about this parable? Disrespect for who the king was and his son. Disobedience to the king and his son. And then we see part of this last part of the story. We see someone at the wedding who was not even invited. Or someone who was not prepared. Unprepared. Remember what we started out with? Prepare to meet thy God. There was someone in there who did not have on the proper clothing. You know how he got in there? He fooled man. But he cannot fool God. How many people trying to get into heaven fool a man? And we think of Judas right in amongst the people, wasn't he? Is there any Judases here today? unprepared. And you may fool the elders. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your family. But you cannot fool God. Don't ever try it. Because God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's omnipresent. He's present 24/7, 365 days a year. He knows all about you. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He sees right through you. He sees your heart. He knows where you stand. He knows where I stand. We can't fool him. And we see what happens to this man. He was taken by servants, the different servant in the latter part of the chapter, and he was cast into outer darkness. That is a place of hell. I pray that no one here will ever be cast into utter darkness. We must go on quickly. So we see there it was a picture of salvation, God's salvation. A picture, this story that he said, listen, I came unto you as the Messiah, your Savior. You rejected me. So you know what? Salvation is going to be preached to the Gentiles. And you know what? They came in and they were saved. And they got to sit at the table of the King and His Son, those of us. And that was through all generations. And God is still saving people today. Yes, there's Jewish people being saved too. But he was speaking directly to the Jewish people at this time. We go on to Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. And this is speaking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a prophet of the New Testament. And it says he prepared the way of the Lord. And look at this little verse we see here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Speaking about John Baptist, who was approximately 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. And he came to prepare the way. Remember, if you went back to Malachi and then come up to Matthew, there was 400 silent years when there was absolutely no message from heaven. And then we see in the little Galilean hills, we see the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into the world. We see those shepherds on the hill. We see the glory of the Lord. The Lord made an announcement that there was a Savior born in the world in the body of flesh. All of a sudden, after 400 silent years, and of course, John the Baptist had already now been on the scene. He was going about preaching repentance. The word repentance means change of mind. Change of mind. He was preparing the way for the Lord. He was preparing the people. And that's what preachers are for today. That's what you are for today. As we heard this morning, we are to be speaking to those, preparing them, that they would be prepared to meet their God. Sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, telling them that they need to be repent of their sins and to have faith now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read that verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 17. Interesting story. If you want to read that sometime about Zacharias and Elizabeth, his father and mother and so on. Verse 17. Let's look at verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn, that is John the Baptist, to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, that is the Lord Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just or righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. My friends, there are people who are prepared for the Lord. And if you're saved this morning, you're prepared. If you're not, you're unprepared. Simple as that. Go to the last part of the chapter, same chapter, and reading in at verse 76 again, speaking about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. That's what John the Baptist was to do. By the remission of their sins, forgiveness, and to have taken their sins away. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of a showing unto Israel. God was training him. God had him in a perfect place, and until the perfect time, God brought him out and he prepared the way for the Lord. He was speaking to the people. Remember, 400 silent years, and all of a sudden a baby was born, a body of flesh. It was God from on high. And now there was a prophet speaking to him, and we see him when he baptized him, when John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, approximately at the age of 30. It says, he pointed to him and he said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He identified the Savior of the world. He pointed right to him. That's what he was for. Guess what you and I are for? We're heralds. He was a herald. He was someone who spoke the word of God. He was someone who shared the word of God. He was someone who pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are to do. Prepare people for the Lord. Well, we must go on to the next one. Heaven is a prepared place. Turn to John chapter 14. I only picked out six. There's many more verses in the Word of God where we see the word prepared. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was speaking directly to his disciples. And this was before he went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, for their sins, for every man's sins. He said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." He had already told them that he would suffer, bleed, and die, and the third day he would rise again, and so on. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." There's a little verse that tells us we don't just believe in God and not in the Son, Jesus Christ. We can't get around Jesus Christ and get to God. Jesus Christ is our only access to God. And in the Gospel of John, it speaks, those who honor God must honor his Son. And if we don't honor his Son, we don't honor God. And my friends, that is probably the best way to find out if someone loves the Lord Jesus Christ or loves God. He says, yeah, I believe in God. Just ask him one question. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was God and that he died for your sins? And you're going to get either one of two responses. One will say, yes, praise the Lord, he is my Redeemer, as we've been singing. Or else, are you crazy? If I hit him here now, I heard one man say that, I would punch him right in the face. My grandmother, my mother was bathing her in the tub. I believe in God. Sure I do. My mom said, what about Jesus Christ? And as soon as she mentioned Jesus Christ, she just stiffened right up in the tub. She didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, my friend, you don't believe in God, and you're lying to everybody and yourself besides. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our only way. We're going to read that just in a moment in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, generic term, man, woman, or child, cometh unto the Father but through me. And you know what? Even as Christians, for us to pray to God, to do anything to God, we must come through the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is Jesus Christ who did everything for you. It is Jesus Christ who created you. Yes, God did. But you go back to Genesis, we see the Trinity there. God the Father, God the Son, who was called the Word. John chapter 1. And we see the Spirit of God who came upon everything. The Trinity was there. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the agent. He was the Word, if you will. He was the agent used to create everything. We read that in Revelation chapter 5 this morning. Because he is worthy. Why is he worthy? First of all, because of creation. All things were created by him and for him. And he was worthy because of his redemption, because of redeeming you and I. Let us never forget that. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Remember we just said about prepared people? Prepared to meet your God. And if you have never done that, my friend, you need to do that now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And my friends, today, the Lord Jesus Christ has a place prepared for me. Why? Because I prepared to meet my God. And if you're saved this morning, there is a place in heaven with your name on it. And that will never change. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas said that. One of the disciples. And that's when the Lord says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heaven, prepared place for prepared people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But it is as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you get that? The word prepared again. Prepared for who? Those that love him. He didn't say for everybody in the world, did he? Those that love him. And eye hath not seen. We have no idea what is waiting for us. We have a little bit, yes. We have no full comprehension what we have in Christ and what is before us. Let me give you a little taste of it. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20, 21. You're going to see the little word again. Revelation chapter 21. Reading in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven. This is John the apostle, John the disciple. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and so on. And you can go on and see that there's no tears, there's no sorrow, no pain, no nothing in heaven for those who want to go to heaven. But you must be prepared. You will not get to heaven unless you're prepared. God has prepared everything. He's already. And the question is, are you? And you can be ready in an instant. The moment you have a changed mind, attitude, and you say, Lord, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe your son died for me. Yes, I don't just believe about him. I believe on him, and I believe in him. And there's a lot of people in this world that may believe about him. That will never, ever, ever, ever get you into heaven. There's not a verse in the Bible that will ever tell you, believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's either on him or in him. If you went to buy one of these great beautiful beds, they sell now and they're soft and everything else. Probably you can buy them at M&M. There's a little plug for you, Franklin. But you know what? For years you may have a whole bunch of information collected about that bed. I'd love to have one of those. I'd love to have one. I can just imagine the sleep and the rest you would get. And you have information on your computer and you have it stored everywhere. You have it in your mind. You could probably quote it. And there's people who can read the Word of God and they can quote it. They probably know more verses than I know. They could probably sing better than anyone else here. They can probably look a lot better and have a better life. There's a lot of people who are unsaved and morally are outstanding, you know. But until you buy that bed, and until you lay on that bed, until you lay in that bed, and when you lay on it, what are you doing? You're casting yourself on the bed, aren't you? And only then can you appreciate what that bed can do for you. You can know all about it, But if you don't own one, if you don't lay on one, if you don't lay in one, my friend, same thing about Jesus Christ. You can know all about him. You can know all kinds of information. But unless you believe in him, you roll yourself on him, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you do that, when you have a changed attitude, when you say, Lord, I believe in him. I am casting myself on him. I believe totally in him. That's when you're saved. And you don't say, I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about anyone else. I believe in him. Not about him. It's believing on him and believing in him that he can do anything for you. That's when you will be saved. I must go to a couple more places. Matthew chapter 25. Remember, heaven is prepared. Do you know what? Hell is prepared too. God has prepared hell. And that is scary. Who wants to talk about hell? And we have people today who says, you know what? I know I'm going to hell, and you know what? I'm going to have a great party. I could go through the Bible. I could tell you about hell. It's a place of torment. It's a place where people are that you would not want to be with, including Judas, including Hitler, and a whole bunch of other people, whoremongers, murderers. But there's also two other names, unbelievers and those who had fear, scared of other people, and said no to the Lord Jesus. People like Pilate, because of his job, he didn't want to lose it. To please the people, he crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, who had love for money, that means he would do absolutely anything for it. He sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and he went to hell. Don't make sense, does it? I wonder if people, any person in hell today is having a party. I wonder, are they satisfied? Are they happy? Do you know it's for all eternity? That is forever and ever and ever. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say, this Lord is speaking about those on the right hand and those on the left hand. Thou is speaking about the nations of the world. That's when he comes back to this world after the 7 years of tribulation. Those on the right hand are those who are saved. Those on the left hand are those. He says the sheep and the goats. And he speaks about those previous to these verses. We don't have time, that they will be in heaven. Look at verse 34. Then said the king unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Kingdom of God, being in heaven. But look at verse 41. Then said he also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those would be some of your friends down in hell. Not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture. You say, well, what do you mean? Do you know, we can turn over to, Revelation chapter 20. Because the last thing we're going to look at, and we're going to look at it quickly too, is judgment is prepared. Judgment is prepared for those people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read that in Psalm 9:7. It says, as he hath prepared his throne for judgment. God has a throne already prepared. But if you turn over quickly to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Hell is prepared, and also the lake of fire, which is the second death. We could go into all those kinds of things, but here is the great white throne judgment. Look what it says. Look at verse 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and they were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The dead we're talking about here, those who are unsaved, no more chances. They are already in hell or in the grave. And my friends, they're going to be raised up and they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. Before they are cast into the lake of fire, the books will be opened. God is an accountant. He has absolutely everything marked down. Not a sin, not a thing that he hasn't marked down. And the books were open, and I believe the word of God will be open, and your name will not be written in the book of life. And it goes on to say, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell or the grave delivered up the dead in were delivered in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Prepared things, a body was prepared, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. A supper prepared, speaking of salvation, has been prepared. Provision has been made at a tremendous cost. Remember the fatlings and so on? Tremendous cost, God's salvation. People prepared. Heaven is prepared for prepared people. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and for those who will follow them, they will go there too. A judgment is prepared. God is ready, and he asks you, as it says in Amos, prepare to meet your God, and all you have to do by faith is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Save me from my sin. The Lord will save you. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We marvel at your holy word. We marvel, Father, at thy parables, thy stories, thy types. And Father, direct black and white words like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, Father, for our eyes to be opened, our minds, our hearts. And Father, may we see ourselves as you see us. If we're not saved, we are on the threshold of being lost forever. And the wrath of God hovers over us. And Father, if we are saved, may we, as Paul would say, thanks be unto God, say that, those words. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your grace. We think of over 2,000 years, your grace. We're living in the days of grace. And we know someday, Father, the door will be shut. We pray, Father, for everyone in our auditorium this morning. We pray, as we've heard this morning, that the Spirit of God would convict sinners of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Father, they would fall on their knees and cry out to the Lord, save me, for I need a Savior. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the worthy and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.